Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him. He loves us so much. And His return is imminent. And I thank God that it is. You know, the people that God is raising up, He's guiding them into greater direction. And the process that the Lord gives us, the process of learning, He prepares us for where He's going. And what He's sanctioning us to do. He's preparing us, and the revelation that He's giving will help us go there and be equipped to do all that's in His heart. Now, to those who are, we have certain thoughts. We have a way that we believe it ought to go. But if you receive what God is giving, the revelation, all the revelation that He's giving, as you receive it, you're being prepared by Him for greater things. And the problem is sometimes people don't understand where they're going, and they put the brakes on. But when you yield, yielding has its own peace. You have a peace when you yield, because you're receiving things that you couldn't come up with. And it makes sense, but it makes too much sense to ignore. But if a person is too attached to tradition and how they think it should go, they try to run from it. But when you embrace it and yield to the Lord, when you yield to Him, then He can prepare you for what He needs. And a lot of people cry because they love Jesus so much, and they love His love, they love His ways, they love His word, they love His people. They say, "Lord, use me." But when He begins to give you revelation that's taking you in a direction that He's going in, it's strange to the religious mind, the denominational mind, the Pentecostal mind, and even the word of faith mind. Why? Because God is preparing people for what He needs. Now, when you're skilled at using faith and you have an understanding of His word, then He trains you and He prepares you for what's next. The Lord needs all types of ministers. I just want to throw a few things out there. A ministry don't have to be traditionalized. A pastor don't have to pastor a church. If you have that calling on your life, the Lord will, He can send you to where the people are. It's not about the building, whatever your ministry needs, God is going to provide. If you pastor a church, you're going to need people to help you. And God will send, He'll send people, you'll help, and you'll train them. You'll have a core group, and then you'll build. And as you build, you have to do it God's way. You have to select the people that God selected. Some people are temporary, some are permanent. And when you understand, you can cooperate. And then sometimes I said, you don't always need a building. The ministry that God gives you to do, He'll give you whatever you need. Some ministers, they minister at prisons. They don't need a building. They just go and preach. And sometimes you may have a job, and the Lord will send you to this job for a season or permanently. And the people there are people that you can, that will hear you. And if you have that, whatever anointing you have, a teaching anointing, pastoral anointing, or even evangelist, God can cause you to go where the people are. People that don't watch Christian TV. People that need a representative from heaven. And then there, God got different types of men. Whatever God give you, if you yield to Him, you'll understand it over time. And He'll, I know I'm following God when He keep giving me steps. when the steps stop, that's when I get concerned. There are progressive steps. And time will happen. Then He give me a new direction. And I'll give you an example. All right. He told me to do the radio broadcast. I started in June of 2006. And I did it the same way for many years. And I started a website called livingletterministries.com. And so the first broadcast, all the broadcasts was on there from 2006 to 2012 when the website crashed and I couldn't access it. It got stuck. There were so many things I wanted to change on it, make it better, but I couldn't. So 3 years went by, and then he gave me another website. All right. In 2016, I had the website. He told me to, instead of doing a 15-minute broadcast, he said, I want you to do a 30-minute broadcast. And you're going to put the first 15 minutes on the air and then save the other 15 minutes would be for his people who are hungry. You see, God, he's wise in all that he does. And every broadcast I didn't stop at 15 minutes. The radio station, sometimes they give you an extra few minutes. Sometimes, like, I don't know, the time that clock might be off or something, or they want to let the people get the thought out, you know, whatever the reason was. Sometimes I get an extra 2 minutes. Sometimes they stop at 15 minutes and they'll be dead air. And sometimes they let it play till they prepare the next one. I don't know what it was, but I saw a way to take advantage of that gap time. So I would do every broadcast about 18 to 20 minutes in case they had some gap time. Not that this is a wonderful radio station, but when you have the Holy Spirit, you have to be wise and look for opportunities. Sometimes the little gap time that I would preach on, it enabled me to get a good point over. And everybody that day heard it, that listened to the radio. Now, in 2016, I had the new website. I started it that, I think it was, I got it running in late January of that year. The Super Bowl, the day of the Super Bowl, the Lord gave me newlivingletters.com. And it was that Sunday that I started. I went to my brother-in-law's house. We was watching the Super Bowl. He helped me set up the first website. So I went online and I typed in newlivingletters.com and it was available. And so I bought that domain name. Then right there at his house. But I got it running. It took a few weeks. I didn't know how to access that new website. I explained what I need and I didn't know how to do it. So I kept getting people that didn't understand how to help me. And I prayed. I said, Lord, let the next person that I talk to show me how to put audio files on this website. And a young lady answered the phone, an American young lady this time. And she told me everything to do. I had my notebook ready. I wrote it down and everything. And I made sure I understood. And I asked all my questions. And I still appreciate that lady. Then I knew how to access the website. And so newlivingletters.com was alive. And so the first few months, everything was kind of normal. Then the Lord said, I want you to do 30-minute broadcast. And the first 15 minutes would be for the radio audience. The second one be for those who are hungry. And then he also told me to advertise the website every broadcast. So this went on until that summer. Then he gave me Heart to Heart. Now that's where all the revelation went. Now what the Lord did, he didn't give his best revelation to everybody. He gave it to people who are hungry and would receive it. See, the second half of all those broadcasts, he would give me something to go on, what to put the minister, and I would try to put it on the first 15 minutes. Sometimes I was just talking to the audience, and he gave the main message to the audience that was hungry. Why would he do that? See, people who love him, it was important that they get the revelation first, because God was going to raise up people that would set a greater standard. Sometimes people blend in the revelation of God with their old thinking process, and they don't listen, or they'll fight it because of their old thinking process. And God love them. I mean, it's not a personal thing with God, but The Lord cannot and will not build upon deception, weakness. What I mean by weakness is thoughts that are not His. Sometimes people are convinced in the way that they teach and understand things, and it's not according to knowledge. You know, I talk about how the Pentecostals had a lot of rules, extra rules that they put on people. To them, it's biblical, but it's really not. You know, you don't have to tell people how to dress and where they can and can't go. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, I've been preaching a long time, and I preach what God give me. And when I went to holiness churches, preachers would preach the same thing. Some churches, they no matter what God wanted to do, they're gonna preach. You got to get saved, get baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And anybody that do that, they in the kingdom of God in their mind, which, you know, those are good things to do. But that was the limit of their message sometimes. But the Lord is practical. He's foundational. The wisdom of the Proverbs was lost in a lot of the teaching that I did here. Because guest ministers would come, and the flow of the thought, it wasn't according to wisdom. And not trying to put people down, but it wasn't. It was problematic. It put stress on people. The girls had to wear them long dresses all the time. They couldn't play. They couldn't go nowhere. People talked about them. And they thought that we're right. This is just right. It's tight, but it's right. It was divisive, and it was a problem. And it hurt people and scattered families. But they couldn't see that, because it take a long time. See, that girl grow up with all those hurts and wounds. And then when she get out of that house, when she can get on her own, she going to leave. She can move to another state and start a new life. Now, some people don't do that. They don't take it to that measure, but a lot of people do. They get in the military, the Navy, the Air Force, and they because of the church and their parents. And some people, they just recycle all that stuff and put it on their children and make them go through the same hurts and problems. But anyway, that's just a small example. And then the denominational churches, and they shunned the spiritual things of the word, the power of the word, the whole things of the Holy Spirit, such as healing and deliverance. When they needed deliverance, they tell them to go to the Pentecostal church. Now, that doesn't make sense. You're the body of Christ. You do it. Deal with it. Learn it. But the dead doctrines God can't build on. And when God gives them greater knowledge, you know, if you're fighting it, and if you don't receive it as true, then what's He supposed to do? He had to raise up people. And according to the old prophecy that He gave me years ago, he raised up a new generation. And people who, some preachers, I've seen this before, I kind of forgot about it, but some preachers, if you don't think like them, they will not listen to you. You won't get a, you know, just like a vacuum cleaner salesman, you know, they try to stick their foot in the door. You ain't going to get your foot in the door. They're not buying nothing you say. And the people that they teach are no different. So God raised up people that were here. People that were interested. They would go on the website and listen to the message again and get all of it. And eventually I told them, I said, the radio broadcast is, you know, I would explain that it's 30 minutes long. The first 15 minutes is on the radio. And all the feedback I got from the radio, everybody said, this is a beautiful message, but it's too short. They get into it, then it's over. And I had to learn to sprint preach because I wanted to give people as much information as I could in the most intelligent way that I could in the shortest amount of time that I had to work with. And my whole ministry has been that way. Now, I'm not complaining, but this is what happened. If when I had to minister, God would give me notes and wonderful thoughts for the church, and people would kill more time, long testimonies, extra songs, everything, Then I had about 20 minutes to preach. When other people used to preach 45 minutes, I had about 20 minutes. And I noticed it everywhere I went, except my dad's church. And Elder Lewis, when I preached at the home at my home church, I had 45 minutes. Everywhere else, I preached about 15, 20 minutes. And I said, that's just the enemy. So I had to do warfare. I rarely preached longer than 20 minutes. And the enemy didn't want the practical knowledge of God. Somebody who would yield to the Holy Spirit. He don't want them preaching. It wasn't just me. Anybody that's like that. Now, people that filibuster, they get an hour. And the church, they just eat it up. There's no restriction. See, there's no warfare there. I had to do warfare just to preach 20 minutes sometimes. And sometimes I had to break through to preach 45. But I learned to sprint preach because sometimes, you know, that religious demon is out there. It's a, you know, it's a seducing spirit or a doctrine of devil. The seducing spirits get people out off track. It's the doctrines of devils that keep them off track. So the Lord had to raise up people that would obey and follow him and love him. And be just as loving and practical as he is. And that's so I'm looking at what God has given me to do and how it all works. So I went on for months just doing 30-minute broadcast. Then in June I went on vacation. I did the first heart-to-heart broadcast. The Lord, he told me what to call it, because he said, when you minister, I'm not speaking to people's mind, I'm speaking to their heart. And so this what God gave me came from his heart, and the people that I'm sharing with is going to their heart. That's why the broadcast was called Heart to Heart. And so I said, I need a way to organize it. At the first Heart to Heart broadcast, I didn't use names. I used numbers. The date that I recorded it. It was called HTH and the date. And then and I would number it, and I would put the date. So it had a number, like the first one, the second one, the third one. It was in consecutive order, and then it had the date on it. HTH, the numerical order, and then the date. And then that way, if I did more than one on the date, it'd at least be identified by the numerical order. Now, the labels didn't come to a few years after that. I did it that way for a few years. And then the Lord, the last few, I think it was 2018 or 19, the Lord said, I want you to start using names. And he gave me titles. And a lot of the broadcast was dealing with the dynamics of following God. And it's very important that people follow him. And how to follow him. How not to get trapped by the cold religious persuasions. And how to go forward, how to seek him and stick with what he's doing, just like I'm doing now. But people that's been listening all the time, you know, they've been preparing and going forward. People that's listening now, some people are just joining in. I reiterate a few things and give. But see, this is the time when the Lord is about to rapture his people. So it's more intense. Following God is very intense. And if you know what to watch out for, it's easy to yield to God, because that's the answer. That's why we're powerful. We're not powerful because not just because we confess that we are and we agree with the word. It's when we yield to the Lord. And yielding causes us to operate according to his word. Yielding helps us work according to his word and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We believe God on two fronts, the written word, And the spoken word, or the revealed word of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives you insights, that's him. He's doing that. He's getting a point across to you. And so when you follow him, some things may seem strange at first. And the way he guides you and the way he leads you, it can seem very strange to a person that's been taught something opposite. But when you know you don't know what to do and you need his yielding, it's so much easier. Now, Jesus said that he rejoiced because God gave these beautiful situations and miracles to babes in Luke chapter 10. Now, obeyed the when he called them babes, that's a reference to the way that they trusted and obeyed God. They did it with enthusiasm, and they did it willingly. Now, my pastor one time, he bought a bunch of tracks. He said, take them and pass them out. He said, when you go to the bathroom, roll them in the put them in the toilet paper. And the kids did this stuff. You know, their tracks was everywhere. I took my children to Walmart. They went and put them in pockets of new clothes, put a track and all. And my pastor did it too. I was kind of scared to do that, but the kids, they just went and did everything Pastor said to do. I had reserves, they were excited about it. They went and put tracks in pockets and, you know, coats and shirts and, well, anything that'll hold a track, they put it in the pocket of the jeans. And then when people bought it here, they got a track. You know, and then they passed them out. So why? Because that's what children do. They don't think about the reserve like I did, but they willingly did it. And so that's the caliber of people God needs. Jesus said, many kings and priests and prophets. I don't want to misquote Jesus. Let's just look at the scripture. Luke 10. You know, when you look at the instructions that he gave, the first few verses, he showed them what to watch out for. He showed them their condition so they wouldn't be appalled. Now let's look at verse 1 first. He said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he would come, where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I talked about this verse yesterday. Now look at this now. This is a perfect example, and of the power of the church operating according to the head. They were perfectly operating according to the head. They didn't do their will. They didn't do somebody else's will. They didn't do the religious council's will. They didn't do the board's will. They did. They took orders from the head. They wasn't afraid of what people thought. They wasn't afraid of being booted out. They did what Jesus said. They wasn't taking orders from the organization. But this time, they were doing what the head said do. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he said this, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We're in the same situation that they were. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. All right, well, he's going to fund you. You don't have to. You don't have to fund it. He's going to fund you. He's going to fund you. Now, you do whatever he say do. In my case, I had to start a business. Now, they were going out for what they had to do. He said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute them. Salute no man by the way. He didn't have to take extra shoes with him. Because what, you know, to me, this is a reference that God is going to sustain whatever you have. Carry neither purse nor scrip. He's going to supply you. As you operate in faith, he said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Now, scrip, I don't know why, but and then he said, and salute no man by the way. Now, Jewish tradition was when you meet somebody you hadn't seen, you catch up. You ask about everybody in the family. But once you start the process, it takes a long time because you know you don't know when you're gonna see them again. So they couldn't, when Jews were in a hurry, according to what Elder Lewis taught me, they would keep moving. They wouldn't do that. So Jesus gave them that protocol in verse 4. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Share his love. That's the first principle. Share his love when you meet people. Verse 6. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, it shall return to you again. If your peace return to you again, you're not welcome. Keep moving. And then he says something else that's interesting, verse 7. and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. You don't have to go around begging people to let you in or get saved. Live the life. And there's more. I'm asking the Lord more about why he said go not from house to house. But looking at from what I understand already, present people with the love. Don't depend on them for anything. Your ministry is not going to fail if people don't help you. You just do what God said do and it works. Verse 8, and into whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Be respectful. That's a protocol. They worked hard to give you something to eat. Eat it. God's going to, if you don't like it, eat it. And God's going to make the difference. Verse 9, heal the sick that are therein. See, the word is sown in peace. If you go and offend people, how are you going to win them? You know, you don't offend people. You can't teach them if you offend them. The word is sown in peace. Verse 9, heal the sick that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Everything is accessible to, you know, you can receive whatever you need from God. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the street of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's very important sometimes to rebuke people where they need to be rebuked, especially at the order of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you always be appropriate. Covenant, appropriate. Verse 12. That's why whenever God gives me something, when he prompt me, I make sure I say that at that time. In the spirit of love. Always in the spirit of love. Verse 12. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And when I think about the destruction of the days after the rapture, it makes me want to do whatever God wants me to do and fast to get more people. Say, I want everybody that can go to heaven to go to heaven with Jesus when he returns. Verse 13, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done at Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now, this is some kind of comparison, and it's true. That's what everything he's saying is a fact, because the Lord knows how to evaluate everything. Verse 14, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down the hill. He that heareth you hears me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. You see all these protocols that Jesus taught them before they just went out. That needs to happen personally for us in our ministry. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. Now watch this part. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If you ever wonder about Satan's position, it's cast out like lightning. That's what he is. He's down. He's gone. He has no covenant with God, no ties to God, nothing to do with God. And God has nothing to do with him. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, this gives you immunity to the world. You're immune to the world. Be immune to the world. If a mosquito bites you, always claim immunity. If a viper bites you, claim immunity. If a black widow bites you, claim immunity. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, we have power over the enemy, but that's a bonus more than our real rejoicing should be that our names is written in heaven. What's he saying to us? It's just like James said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you start looking at, you know, feeling cocky because you can cast out devils, see, you can forget the fact that the reason is because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're people that are dabbling with the world, they forfeit their authority. And that's a problem. So you can't rebuke the devil if you're in cahoots with him. So it's very important to stay connected. Stay connected to the head. And you'll never have trouble rebuking the devil if you have faith for it. Verse 21. Now watch this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered of me to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now watch this part. And he turned himself unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. The things that you will learn in obedience, it thoroughly outweighs what you learn in disobedience. And as long as you stay connected to the head, you're gonna get the best knowledge, you're gonna see the best miracles, and you're gonna have the best testimonies. Because you stay connected when others refuse to do so. Now, when I used to wonder why did God teach me about following God, and he didn't give me nobody to teach it to for 20-something years. Very few people I talked about it to people I know because it was on my heart. And when I taught, I would, until 2016 or 20, about 2016, I taught all kinds of stuff. And then the Lord brought me back to end times and following God. And I, at the Sunday school class, I taught about it a lot, but I taught other things with it. And you can listen to it for yourself from 2016 up. The other website is gone.